October, which means it's time. 31 days, 31 podcasts.
31 podcasts.
It's helpful, so I'm Tatooine.
Hey everybody, today we've got a treat for you. A little deep dive into a horror movie career, that has some true terror in it. Some little facts. Today we're talking about a guy named Dan O'Bannon, which if you're a movie buff, you probably recognize his name. He had a fairly, you know, at the time, humble start, which looking back on it is pretty crazy, because in film school he met none other than John Carpenter, where they worked on a movie called Dark Star together, which is a pretty great movie. It's like a really stupid, dark space movie with an alien beach ball that I remember watching as a kid and thinking I was completely confused by it, right? So anyway, then he was set to work on the special effects for Jodorowsky's Dune, which if you haven't seen the documentary about that, it's fucking great. Because basically Dune was set to be created by this insane director, Jodorowsky, and they made a full sort of graphic novel treatment for what the movie would look like. And a lot of that ended up in the movie Alien. A ton of it. And so he was set to do the special effects for that, but then it all fell apart, right? And so O'Bannon was broke, homeless, and was living with a friend. And when he was doing that, he lived with this friend, Ron, and they came up with a story for a little film called Alien. And O'Bannon was the one who wrote the screenplay, and he supervised the visuals in that movie. So then he also helped make the animated movie Heavy Metal, which is a fucking crazy, if you've never seen that. Holy shit. He did one called Blue Thunder that he wasn't a big fan of. He also did the horribly underrated Life Force, which is a space Dracula movie directed by Tobe Hooper. Pretty awesome. It's like, it's got aliens, it's got vampires, it's got alien vampires. Invaders from Mars, which wasn't big. And then O'Bannon was also a consultant on a little movie called Chud, starring none other than John Goodman. I don't know if he was a star, but he's in it. And, cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers, I think is what it's called. Is it that? And then, he went on to do Total Recall. He also made a movie called Screamers, which was like a very underrated Peter Weller space craziness vehicle. Those people who know Dan O'Bannon. Oh, there's also a helpful snowman connection here. O'Bannon died from complications of Crohn's disease. O'Bannon credited his experiences with Crohn's for inspiring the chest-bursting scene from Alien. How fucked up is that? Like, it's sort of, as if it's not bad enough, and it's like, whoa, that's how he came up with that, is like, that's how shitty Crohn's is. There you go. You know, I have here a quote, "The digestion process felt like something bubbling inside of him, struggling to get out." That's how he came up with sort of the chest bursting of the alien, was his Crohn's disease was that bad that it felt like an alien was going to burst out from inside him. Now, if you're a Dan O'Bannon fan, you may or may not be, you may know that he was the writer-director for a little movie called Return of the Living Dead, which is a fucking bonkers great zombie movie. I mean, this is like the definition of a cult classic. You know, you've got some main characters with names like Spider, Scuzz, and Trash, and Suicide. Trash is Linnea Quigley, who was like became a total Scream Queen and famous for doing a Scream Queen workout type of thing. But yeah, tons and tons. She was Savage Streets, Silent Night, Deadly Night, Creepazoids, Sorority Babes in the Slime Bowl-O-Rama, of course, Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers, Night of the Demons, Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master. You know, if there was a B-movie to be made, it's like, let's get to, what's she up to? And so if you knew Dan O'Bannon, you probably knew that I'd skipped over Return of the Living Dead. And the reason was, I found out something pretty interesting about Return of the Living Dead and Dan O'Bannon. So there's a book that's a sort of oral history about Return of the Living Dead, and there's a section that talks about Dan O'Bannon. So Miguel Nunez Jr. says, "He was nice to me. I loved Dan because he loved me after the first audition." Linnea Quigley, "He was very cool, very intense about how the movie would look and how everything would go." Rory Flynn, who did stills, "I remember Dan directing these kids in a room, like a school room, and I guess someone was not paying attention. I stayed out of his line of vision at all times, and he picked up a chair and tossed it across the room. He was mad, and luckily he did not hit anyone, but he just flipped. Dan was pretty sketchy when it came to temper, and everyone knew to stay out of his way." Tony Gardner, "Meeting him that first time like I did, I felt that I sort of caught him off guard. He was very polite, though, and definitely passionate about the film and wanting all of the details to be just right. We got on great from the very start and had a great relationship the entire time. Keep in mind, though, that I just sort of blew in for a few days here and there when my stuff was working." William Stout, "Dan O'Bannon was enthusiastic, always interesting conversationally and direct and often acerbic in his critical analysis of film and art. When he loved something, he exuded an aura of almost childlike glee. I was drawn to him right away." Now here's my favorite part. David Duval, "There were moments during the filming, like the day Dan was set to film the weird little guy they brought on set to play one of the misshapen zombies. One of the more unpleasant requirements was that he actually eat calf brains on camera. Well, the crew was up in arms about this, and Dan, to his credit, walked over and ate some calf brains in front of everyone present, remarking afterwards, 'I would never ask an actor to do anything on camera that I wouldn't do myself.'" So there you go. If you watch Return of the Living Dead, which I recommend you do, have a couple of tall boys and a bowl of Papa McCorn, and watch that movie. And when you see the little dude, I think he doesn't have legs or something like that, and he's chomping down on some brains. Those are some calf brains, real brains. They just decided, you know, I guess they decided that they should just get some real brains in there. This is a lot like, I've heard the rumor, and I haven't really been able to confirm it by any sort of reputable source, but that in the movie Poltergeist, if you've seen that movie, towards the end, a bunch of skeletons start popping out of the water because they have a pool that they're digging in the backyard and it fills with rain, and then skeletons just start popping up. And the rumor I've read is that these skeletons are actual skeletons because it was easier and cheaper to get actual skeletons than facsimile skeletons. So they were like, "Oh, fuck it, I guess we'll just use real skeletons then." And they did not tell the actors, though, until later, because they were like, they don't need to know these are real, right? No, don't ask, don't tell. But yeah, so that's Dan O'Bannon. Ate some brains, you know. I guess a lot of people, I hear a lot of people say the hallmark of a good boss is they wouldn't ask you to do anything they're unwilling to do themselves. And boy, does Dan O'Bannon do that. Not to mention that, you know, bringing it into the helpful snowman realm, it's like basically a, you know, gastrointestinal issue. If Dan O'Bannon hadn't had Crohn's disease, would we have the movie Alien? Hard to say, right? I mean, maybe this horrible thing that he went through brought something that has brought a lot of people a lot of joy. So there you go. Somebody's got to suffer in order for us to have Alien, I guess. And in this case, it was fucking Dan O'Bannon. So, unfortunately, he passed away in 2009. So, rest in peace, Dan O'Bannon. And the rest of you, rest in peace until tomorrow.